This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball. This is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Warm up from the low. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got a great podcast for you. Joining me in segment number two, we are going to be having on Abby Labar, who does great work over at MLB Network. She is the newest addition to their team. As you may recall, she's been with FTM Bets. I know that she was doing a lot of work with the Carolina Hurricanes on the hockey front as well. So it's going to be great to be able to get her aboard. We're going to be chatting with her about just what we've been seeing early on this season. If the rule changes, in her opinion, have led to a little bit of an increase in scoring, taking a look at these young teams and sort of the makeup of these young teams that could be big for them in terms of being able to slash not being able to be able to sustain the success that they've had early on during the season. And we're going to be looking at just the impact of some of these injured starters and them coming back, what they're going to be able to provide moving forward as well, and how difficult it is to be able to gauge a guy that might have had Tommy John surgery, what they're going to be able to do moving forward. So we're going to be chatting with Abby about that in segment number two, and then in the final segment, going to get you guys picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Thursday as we touch them all. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you have one of two ways to be able to throw those in. First one is my Twitter / X timeline at GNN_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, name does not matter, size per usual. Please do send these into the timeline. And the other way, that is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. I get this tweet / question in from Dog, spelled D-A-W-G, love the name, and he was asking me if I edit my handicap after I've seen what relievers get used from the previous night, because I do a little bit of handicapping moving forward, and absolutely I do. Now, I sort of anticipate what relievers are going to be used on a specific game, like when you've got in there someone like a Justin Verlander at peak form, you're going to be utilizing fewer bullpen pieces than, say, guy coming off of Tommy John surgery, guy that was banged up the previous year and is on a very clear pitch count. So that's something that does get anticipated. But that said, there are things that they do pop up, like when a starter is only able to go 2 innings, he breaks every bone in his body in the 3rd inning or something like that. Absolutely. You do need to adjust. You need to adjust to the fact that sometimes bullpens get used more / less. The extra inning games especially, I think that those are very big, because we saw it in like the Arizona Diamondbacks versus New York Yankees game. Not going to have any sort of an impact on Thursday because both of these teams, they've got an off day. But if they were to play once again on Thursday, if they were to start up a new series, travel somewhere else, I would have to dock them just a little bit for that, because they did have to burn through quite a few arms. So absolutely, I do have to make a few adjustments when we see guys get used / not used. Like, I had to bump up the Astros just a little bit with one Ronald Blanco throwing a no-hitter, as I anticipated him not being able to throw his first ever complete game in that one. So hopefully that helps, and Hopefully I answered that to the best of my abilities. Like I said, if you've got any additional questions, more than happy to follow up as well. But let's take a look at everything that we did get in baseball on Wednesday. Try to find some trends and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
Games from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the Rowdy Recap.
And speaking of that Yankees versus Diamondbacks game, if you had the under in this game, what a swift kick right to the family jewels. 6-5 the final. This game was 2-2 going into the 10th inning. Both teams score a pair of runs in the 10th inning and the game goes over in the 11th. Good grief, as Mr. Carlos Rodon looks to return to prominence as he does give up a pair of home runs in 5 1/3 innings, gives up 2 runs in total, but the Yankees had a pair of home runs of their own as you had Aaron Judge be able to get his first of the campaign that comes off of Merrill Kelly, and Alex Verdugo his first as a New York Yankee that comes off of Kevin Ginkle, and Ginkle takes the no decision in this one, giving up 2 runs, one of which was earned in his inning of work. Merrill Kelly, relatively solid start, gives up 2 runs in 7 innings, including that home run to Aaron Judge. Joe Mantiply, Ryan Thompson, they both lend a scoreless inning, and then Scott Magoo, he came in the 11th inning, and he did not get this to go his way. 2 runs, one of which earned, given up in his inning of work. Meanwhile, for the Arizona Diamondbacks, going deep for them, Ketel Marte of the Marte Parte is able to get his first home run of the season. It was home run number one of the campaign as well for Blaze Alexander, young 24-year-old for them, and the Yankees bullpen did a relatively solid job. You did have Clay Holmes give up 3 unearned runs in extra innings before Caleb Ferguson had to get the final 2 outs of the game, but Ian Hamilton, 2 2/3 innings scoreless. Jonathan Loaisiga, he was able to provide a scoreless inning as well. We had a washout in terms of Braves versus White Sox and Mets versus Tigers. Gonna get a nice double dip between the Tigers and the Mets on Thursday, but that said, in terms of our DK Network write-up pick, man, mention this would have been a washout because men's stranded on base costed us in this one. 8-0, the Houston Astros take it to the Toronto Blue Jays as for the Blue Jays, they leave 7 men on base, but the problem was they were just completely drawing walks and they weren't able to really put bat to ball. They got 1 hit in this game. Christian Javier, he only lasts 5 innings. He walks 5, but gives up just 1 hit from there. Seth Martinez, Rafael Montero, along with Taylor Scott, along with Dylan Coleman, they all lend a scoreless inning in. All the damage was done by the Houston Astros. More specifically, most of the damage was done by Yordan Alvarez. He takes Chris Bassett and Tim Mesa deep. First and second home runs of the season. Wes Parsons gives one up to Jose Altuve. His third home run season. And Parsons gives one up to Jeremy Pena as well. His second home run season. Chris Bassett gets taken hook, line, and sinker in this one. 4 runs surrendered and 4 1/3 innings. Mesa gives up that home run in his third of an inning of work. Trevor Richards, Nate Pearson, they both go 2/3 of an inning. They both provide a scoreless inning. And Wes Parsons gives up those 2 home runs, 3 runs in total over the course of 2 innings, and Silver Cash is if the Astros don't leave the bases loaded in the first inning, and that's just going to happen from time to time. That is, as they always like to say, baseball, so we shall see if we're able to get back on track. Right up thus far this season, 5-3, so solid start there, and for the LA Dodgers, they're off to a solid start in terms of getting one-run wins. Last 2 years, the LA Dodgers had 211 regular season wins. 32 of them were by 1 run. They have had 3 1-run wins in the last 4 nights, 5-4. They take down the San Francisco Giants as the Giants have Patrick Bailey and Ore Soler. Both go deep in this one for Bailey off of Tyler Glasnow. It's first home run season for Soler. He goes deep off of Danny Hudson in second. Hudson gives up a solo home run in his inning work. Joe Kelly, Denelson Lamet, they both provide a scoreless inning. Denelson Lamet closed out this game. Never thought I would see him become a closer, but for Tyler Glasnow, he gives up 3 runs over the course of 6 innings, including one of those home runs, and the LA Dodgers got their first home run with Shohei Ohtani in a Dodgers uniform. He goes deep off of Taylor Rogers, and then you had Mr. Harrison give up a home run to Miguel Rojas. His second home run season for Kyle Harrison gives up 4 runs in 5 innings, and then Taylor Rogers gives up that solo home run to Ohtani in his inning of work. He had his brother Tyler Rogers provide a scoreless inning, and then Eric Miller scoreless inning as well. So the LA Dodgers now 7-2 with 3 1-run wins as far this season, and for the Chicago Cubs, they look like they had the run line in the bag, and if you had this one, this was rough, as the Colorado Rockies came back from down 6 to tie things up 8-8 in the bottom of the 8th before the Cubs, inevitably, they get the win by a count of 9-8, as this was not what Cal Quantrill was looking for. 4 walks, 4 runs allowed over the course of 4 innings, just a whole bunch of 4s for him, and then Jalen Beeks comes in for an inning, gives up a solo home run as going deep for the Chicago Cubs on a very cold night. C.A. Suzuki, second home run in the campaign, and then Tyler Kinley gives up 3 runs in 1/3 of an inning. Jake Bird gives the Cubs the bird, 1 2/3 inning scoreless. Before Nick Mears is able to come in, he's able to provide an inning of work. He gives up a run and takes a loss. And for the Colorado Rockies, they do go 4-15 with men in scoring position as the Cubs get a relatively solid open here from Luke Little. Scoreless inning as Ben Brown was the bulk guy. Not bad. One run given up over the course of four innings. Mark Leiter Jr. gives up an unearned run in his inning of work, but then things go sideways when Hector Neris, Yancy Almonte combine for an inning, and they give up five runs between the two of them. Adbert Elsley, he provides a scoreless inning to be able to get the W, and Julian Merriweather, he gives up a run in an inning as well. We've been noticing a lot of bullpens being a little bit less than trustworthy, and for the Brewers, their bullpen let them down against the Minnesota Twins, 7-3. The Twins are able to get the job done as the Twins were able to put up a 5-spot in the 7th inning, headlined by Ryan Jeffers being able to get his first home run of the season. That comes off of one Bryce Wilson as Joe Ross, not long for this game. It was his first start at the big league level since the 2021 campaign, but 3 2/3 inning scoreless, did walk 5 from there. Hobie Milner gets a pair of outs out of the bullpen, allows a run along the way. J.B. Bukakis, 1 2/3 inning scoreless, but Joe Piamps gives up 4 runs in a third of an inning, and then Wilson gives up that solo run in his 1 2/3 innings of work before you had an inning and a run surrendered by Thiago Vieira. Hopefully I said that correctly. And for the Brewers, they did get a pair of home runs of their own. Rhys Hoskins goes deep off of Chris Paddock. That is home run number 2 of the campaign for him. And a young gun, home run number 1 in the career of Jackson Chirillo. The young 20-year-old was able to go deep off of Dan Duarte, who goes for 2 innings, giving up that home run for Paddock. Not a long outing for him as well. He gives up 2 runs over the course of 4 innings, including that home run to Rhys Hoskins. From there, though, Brock Stewart, Stephen Okert, Griffin Jacks, they brock and roll. They all give you a scoreless inning to be able to get the win. And right now, the biggest fade in all baseball has been the Miami Marlins. They are 0-7 as they lose to the LA Angels by a count of 10-2. Patrick Sandoval, not a great start, not a bad start. 2 runs surrendered in 5 2/3 innings. From there, you were able to get 3 scoreless innings in long relief from Guillermo Zuniga. And you had a out of the bullpen from Jose C. Serrano for the LA Angels. You had Taylor Ward get his third home run season. That was big for a Angels team that got A.J. Puck out of this game very early. 4 runs, 2 of which were earned, given up by him. And then you had the home run given up by Mr. Kent Emanuel. He comes in for 3 innings, gives up 4 runs, all of which were earned. And Birch Smith gives up 2 runs in 2 innings. So the Miami stinkitude continues. And for the Kansas City Royals, they found a way to blow this one. 4-3, they lose to the Baltimore Orioles as they give up what was a lead of 3-0 going into the bottom of the 8th inning. As for the Kansas City Royals, Cole Reagan's a very good start. 6 1/3 inning scoreless. James MacArthur from there gives up 2 runs in an inning. Anel Zerpa gets a pair of outs out of the bullpen, but Will Smith gets too jiggy with it. He gives up the winning 2 runs in 2/3 of an inning. He did have Mikel Garcia get home run number 3 of the campaign. That comes off of Mike Bauman. For Bauman, he gives up a solo run in his inning of work. And for Corbin Burns, hit quite a bit, but he mitigated the damage. Gives up 2 runs in 5 2/3 innings, but gave up 9 hits, only punched out 3, so not necessarily sharp there. Yennier Cano, he was able to get a scoreless inning for a win, and Danny Cullum, 4 outs out of the bullpen scoreless. We still have a few teams out there in Major League Baseball that have yet to play an under, the biggest one being the San Francisco Giants. They are now 7-0 to the over. We outlined what happened with them against the LA Dodgers, and for the Miami Marlins, there are 6 overs and 1 under, but this one should come as a surprise to a lot of people. The Cleveland Guardians have had all but one of their games go over thus far this season as well. 5 overs, 1 under, and a push. 8-0, they take down the Seattle Mariners. As for Cleveland, it was not the home run ball that helped them out. They went 5-13 with men in scoring position, and Logan Allen dominated. 6 2/3 inning scoreless. Nick Sandlin from there in out of the bullpen before you're able to get scoreless innings out of Tim Herron along with Cade Smith. And for Seattle, this is not what they were looking for out of George Kirby. He gives up all 8 runs in the game in 3 2/3 innings. Bullpen from there was good. Trent Thornton, 2 scoreless innings. You had Austin Voth be able to ride 2 1/3 inning scoreless. And Josh Rojas, position player, was able to give a scoreless inning as well. The Phillies have been playing quite a few overs thus far this season, but first under of the season for both they and the Cincinnati Reds. Reds get it done by a count of 4-1 as for Cincinnati, 1 Frankie Montas, relatively solid start, gives up 1 run in 5 1/3 innings, going deep for the Philadelphia Phillies. Kyle Schwarber, second home run season, and Zach Wheeler, he was wheeling, he was dealing, going 6 innings, gave up 3 runs, only one of which was earned. He was badly hurt by the fielding errors of Bryce Harper along with Bryson Stott. From there, Junior Marte, Gregory Soto, both provide a scoreless inning. Nick Nelson, he gives up a run and an inning, so a little bit of a tough luck loser on Zach Wheeler. Only one of those runs were credited to him. Lucas Sims, Fernando Cruz, they both lend a Squirrel signing along with Alexis Diaz, and you have Justin Wilson getting out of the bullpen. So the Reds, after a relatively solid start, the Boston Red Sox, they're now 5-2 straight up. Pair of one-run wins out there in Oakland, but wins a win, 1-0 the final. And kind of mind-numbing that this game at 18 hits and only one run for the Boston Red Sox. They go just 1-4 with men in scoring position as they were able to find a way on base due to just quite a bit of soft contact in general. Nick Pivetta did a very good job of folding down the four. Five scoreless innings out of him. From there, you had a combined two scoreless innings out of Yoli Rodriguez along with Justin Slayton, and then you had a scoreless inning apiece out of Chris Martin along with Kenley Jansen to be able to shut the door. And for the Oakland A's, 2-9 with men in scoring position, and they didn't wave anyone around. They left 10 men on base. Ross Stripling has a very good start, get completely squandered. One run surrendered in seven innings. TJ McFarland, Michael Kelly, they both provide a scoreless inning as well. And for Oakland, just their second under of the season thus far. And by the way, in case you're wondering, right now, your top under teams. The Astros have played just one over this year. The Yankees, the extra inning game that we saw against Arizona, that was their first over of the season as well. And then the Minnesota Twins have played three unders to just two overs thus far this season as well. But a team of fascination that has played more unders than overs is the St. Louis Cardinals. They end up losing to the San Diego Padres by a count of 3-2 as for the Cardinals. They got a relatively solid start in this one from Mr. Zach Thompson. Gives up three runs over the course of five innings. Did a lot of home run along the way as going deep for Slam Diego. Kyle Higashioka, his first home run as a Padre. And Joe Musgrove, after a little bit of a shaky start to the season, he found his form. One run surrendered over the course of six innings. From there, Tom Cosgrove, a scoreless inning. You did have Robert Suarez after coming and get the final five outs. The bullpen scoreless as Wandy Peralta gives up an unearned run in a third of an inning, but it's caused by Xander Bogaerts. Aaron for St. Louis, you'd have Matthew Liberatore along with Andre Pallante and Ryan Fernandez. I'll provide a scoreless inning to be able to hold down the fort. And for the Pittsburgh Pirates, they were the last team in the National League to take a loss. Right now, you've got one undefeated team. That'd be the 4-0 Detroit Tigers, but for the Pirates, they lasted as long as they did, but they fell for the first time all season against the Washington Nationals. This by a count of 5-3. Jack Swinisky was able to go deep for his first home run season. That comes off of Robert Garcia. And for the Pirates, just a case where Mitch Keller did not have it. He had a big-time velocity dip in spring training, and he's still dealing with it. Five runs, four of which were earned, giving up in 5 1/3 innings, giving up a home run along the way to Joey Gallo, his first as a Washington National. Meanwhile, Trevor Williams does a good job holding down the fort, giving up two runs over the course of 5 1/3 innings against a Pirates team that entered the night averaging more than 8 runs per game. Robert Garcia gives up that home run in his third of an inning, but Jordan Weems, pair of outs out of the bullpen scoreless. Hunter Harvey, he goes 1 2/3 innings scoreless, and Kyle Finnegan was able to provide a scoreless inning. Well, yeah, Josh Fleming get 5 outs out of the bullpen scoreless, and Hunter Stranton for the Buccos, he was able to lend a scoreless inning as well. And then out there in Tampa, a Rangers team that played a whole bunch of overs last season, they play an under. They're 3-3 to the over this far this season, but they get the job done 4-1 against the Tampa Bay Rays, thanks to Nathan Eovaldi being unhittable in this one. 8 punchouts, 7 scoreless innings. David Robertson from there provides a scoreless inning. He did have Jose Leclerc give up a run in an inning, but he had more than enough support with Corey Seager being able to get his first home run season. That comes off of Aaron Savalio. He's a tough luck loser. He gives up that home run, gives up one run over the course of six innings. Garrett Clevenger gave up 3 runs in an inning, and Sean Armstrong, he goes for 2 scoreless innings, but Rays were not able to put bat to ball in this one. And if you're looking at the trends of baseball, we have been seeing things be very, very overwhelming thus far, though. Things that iron out a little bit more in terms of the totals on Wednesday. 6 overs, 6 unders, and a push along the way. And if you're looking at favorites, they've had a little bit of a rough go of it to begin the season. They went 8-5 straight up yesterday, so relatively solid go of it there. But overall for the season, favorites hitting at just 56.4% on the money line, 53-41. Road teams, by the way, straight up 56-39 this far this season. That has been a nice run. And then overs, right now this season, they're hitting at 59.6%. 53 overs, 36 unders. We've had along the way, I believe, 8 pushes as well. So that's what we're seeing in baseball right now, and that's what we all got on Wednesday. Now let's take a look at what we're all getting league-wide and some of the trends that we are seeing. We're going to be talking about that with Abby Labar as to whether or not these rule changes are leading to the high-scoring games that we're seeing and just the impact of some of these young guys on the league as well. That's up next right here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast, and it is great to be joined by this guy. It says, Abby Labar is the newest host over there at MLB Network. She does a great job with the show Quick Pitch. You're able to catch that every Monday through Friday. That's a tremendous show. It helps me wind down the day of baseball. They recap everything that we had seen that day. I have a few fun segments along the way as well. And Abby's the newest part of that fine show. I know that she's done some work over at FDM Bets. She is an NC State Wolfpack grad, so certainly feeling good about both the men's and women's team being in the Final Four as well. You're able to catch her on Twitter /X at her first and last name, Abby Labar. Last name is spelled L-A-B-A-R, and then an underscore after that. And Abby, it's great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Yeah, great to be here. Look, I'll tell you what, between the NC State Wolfpack and opening weekend, it has been a wild few days. Lots of excitement, though, especially in my world. So I'm excited to be on to talk about it.
Oh, absolutely. And I love the fact that we've got baseball in our lives. One of my favorite times of year. I love college basketball. I love baseball. So this is absolutely perfect. And how about if we dive in first things first with a few teams that have stood out to begin the season? Because as we are recording this podcast, we've got two undefeated teams, the Detroit Tigers along with the Pittsburgh Pirates, which I'm not sure if a lot of people saw that coming, but it does get the sense that even though we talked a lot about like the LA Dodgers coming into the year, no doubt about the Atlanta Braves as well, it does feel like top to bottom this year, things are going to be a little bit more competitive with these bottom teams. And it feels like with the Tigers and the Pirates, there's just a lot of young talent in general coming into the Major League Baseball, and these teams being a rise up with that young talent.
Well, yeah, no, absolutely. And it was funny because I actually asked some of my analysts yesterday. I was like, look, are the Pirates, is this a fluke? Like, what do we think is going to happen here? Are we all getting punked with this one? No, but it all, I think, goes back to, and I know you and I discussed this a little bit, and I think we're going to dive into it some more. But I think just with the construction of these rosters now and everybody having to adjust to the changes that are happening in baseball, right? Like, and we're going to start seeing these teams that went out in the offseason and made these moves, and they have all these young guys, amazing talent in the pipeline that are coming up through the ranks that are athletic, and the game's just changing so much right now that the teams that have these front offices that are able to kind of make the adjustments necessary in relation to those are going to be the teams that we're going to start seeing emerge, right? And I think obviously the Detroit Tigers, for good reason, we're talked a lot about them in the offseason, and then obviously in spring training we saw some bits and pieces of them, so that one I think was a little expected to have a strong start to the season. But you know, the Pirates, kind of the same thing. You know, again, like, second half of the season wasn't great for Pittsburgh last year, so it'll kind of be a matter of, can they keep this up for the Pirates? But you know what, it's exciting to see some of these teams emerge that we didn't expect.
Yeah, Ben, I do think that it's going to be a great lay of land in baseball, because no doubt about it, the Atlanta Braves, the LA Dodgers, the Houston Astros, those are teams that are going to be there when it comes to the end of the season. But I do take a look at those two central divisions, and even though they're probably not going to have any sort of a 100-win team, don't tell that to the likes of the Milwaukee Brewers, the Pittsburgh Pirates, what have you, I think that those might be two of the more competitive divisions out there in baseball, because you don't have that juggernaut team. And in both divisions, oh, yeah, they are full of a bunch of young players and young teams in general that are looking to rise up.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I've heard that a ton lately, and we've talked about it a lot, that those are by far, those central divisions are by far going to be those ones where we're not going to see as big of a discrepancy. So you're right. Like, all those teams that are going to kind of hang around, it is cool to see what they were able to do and some of these players that are emerging as well. But I think what I love seeing after, you know, opening week and getting into, you know, some of these new series this week are those players that are behind the ones that we, you know, we expect the guys to perform, right? Like the Juan Soto's of the world and the big three with the Dodgers. But I love looking at those guys that are behind them and how, you know, these front offices have constructed these rosters with guys that can kind of play behind those guys. Because at the end of the day, like, you're only going to go far in the postseason if you have a complete, well-rounded team. And as much as we love watching these superstars, it's really exciting to see some of these other guys come to light. Like, I love Teoscar Hernandez with the Dodgers. You know, he's one of those guys that he's batting like fifth, sixth. I mean, he's crushing it right now. 4 home runs, 9 RBI. And like, those are the types of guys that you need and that we want to talk about, because, you know, ultimately with the 162 game season, those are the ones that you're going to need.
Yeah, Ben, no question about it. You're going to have some ups and downs with these guys, and the guys are able to show a little bit of consistency as well. And a hot start certainly helps out on that regard. I think that is going to be big to highlight, as well as Abby Labarra does great work over at MLB Network, joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And I do think that we've got a lot of intrigue when it comes to this early season that we've been getting. And one of the things that I've been noticing this year is typically we notice the pitchers are a little bit ahead of hitters when it comes to this time of year. Being someone from the great state of Wisconsin, I can tell you, early April, typically you don't get the world's greatest weather out there in the Midwest, in the Northeast part of the country. But we've been noticing a lot of high-scoring games, and the question I want to pose to you is, do you feel like the new rule changes have had a little bit of an effect on this? Because I also noticed it a little bit last year. I felt like with the pitch clock implementation that there were a lot of pitchers that had a little bit of a tough time adjusting to it. So last 2 years, where typically you find a lot of like 3-2, 2-1 style games, they become a little bit higher scoring. And my question to you is, do you think that the rule changes have had a big impact on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just still so much that we've yet to see. I think probably a little bit, right? Like, we talk about like the stolen bases. I think that's a big part in the on-base percentage. Like, I think that leads to these more higher scoring games. But, you know, I actually had our research department check out some numbers for me here. As of right now, the numbers are a little bit down compared to last year when it comes to stolen base attempts per game, 77.9% compared to the 80.2% last year. Of course, small sample size we're talking about right now, but still up from 2022. So, you know, again, I think these numbers are still going to kind of bobble back and forth, and we're going to see, like, from an adjustment standpoint, like, a lot of players making changes. But you're right. I mean, I think the big thing as far as pitching goes, like, that fastball. You know, we're not going to see this fastball, I don't think, as much, because these pitchers, their arms, like, you're throwing crazy heat, right? And then, like, all of a sudden, you only have a small amount of time to kind of get your arm back and then throw that heat again. Like, that's gonna wear on these pitchers. So I think we're going to see them adjust in how they're throwing the ball. And I think, again, it's probably going to be a little bit easier for some of these guys that are going up to the plate. So, yeah, I mean, I think the pitching is going to be ultimately such a big thing that we're going to continue to watch, that we watched a lot last year. But again, I think there's so much more that we could see change and adjustments being made as the season goes on. So as far as the numbers go, sure, you can say that we're seeing those changes still. But, you know, I think right now it's more of the eye test, right? Like watching these games and watching your favorite players and just picking up on those tendencies of like pitchers and batters, like, okay, well, were they doing that before? Were they not? And so, again, I seeing a little bit, but I think it's still yet to really be determined. And I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be really cool to follow and watch. But yeah, as far as the pitch clock violations go, only 3 teams have more than 1 violation this season. So 13 teams don't have any. I mean, again, like numbers, as far as that goes, we're kind of seeing similarities to what we saw towards the end of last season. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to, you know, watching these guys and their tendencies and their routine and how they adjust.
Absolutely. And most of the guys that do get them, they're, for lack of a better term, repeat offenders. Like we saw Craig Kimbrel last year, get a whole bunch of them. And there are just a few guys in general that they're going to pick up a few of them. And sometimes relievers actually pick them up intentionally. Like I know that Craig Kimbrel will sometimes like balk intentionally, so that way he doesn't have to deal with trying to hold on a man on first base and things like that. And there are some pitchers that they go to that approach as well. So that's always something to keep in mind as well. But in terms of those rule changes, because a lot of people, they talk about the pitch clock itself, but I'm so glad that you brought up the stolen bases, because I'm not sure if you've noticed this, but over last year plus, it's not like home runs have been like drastically up or anything like that. But last year, scoring as a whole, we did see an increase in runs. And I do think that it is because we're seeing more aggressiveness on the base paths, because we have seen a little bit of a reduction of the shift, that we've seen more base hits as well. And I'm not sure if you agree slash disagree, but it feels like over the last year plus, we've gotten a little bit more of a pure game of baseball and just in general, more action.
Yeah. And I think too, like it goes back to like the construction of these teams, like these young guys that are just coming up, like they're so athletic, and that, you know, goes for their defense and then their base running skills as well. You're seeing these guys that are coming up into these teams that are just, you know, perfectly formed for these roles and for the adjustment of these rule changes. So I think overall, just seeing these athletic players and what they're able to do when it comes to making these specific adjustments, I like what we're seeing as well with that. So I think that's ultimately what you can kind of look at and point to when it comes to the stolen bases, when it comes to those defensive shifts. And obviously that all ties in together. It's going to be these like young athletic guys.
Yep. And that's what we've been seeing here early on this season. We shall see if a team like the Pittsburgh Pirates going to be able to maintain moving forward, but that has been something nice to be able to see. And we are seeing more teams taking a little bit of an approach of station to station baseball, just being able to move line, playing a little bit less for the 3-run homer, which I do think is very good for the game as well.
Oh, yeah, always.
Oh, man, because I just still remember a few years ago, it's like you're getting really the 3-2 results and nothing else. Now you're seeing more stolen bases. Now you're seeing more of these speedsters be featured more. And that is obviously something that we all love to see when it comes to just getting more fun games in general and being able to have a little bit more action in this game, as Abby Labaro does great work over at MLB Network and the show Quick Pitch is joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And Abby, just in terms of what you were noticing coming into the year, it could be a team that has backed it up. It could be a team that has been like, you know, someone neither here nor there, because as we know, it's a 162 game season and most of these teams have played between 5 and 7 games. So you're is very, very young. If you're looking in terms of NFL standards, we're not even 1/17 of the way through the season. But that said, is there a team or two that you were taking a look at coming into the year that you felt a little bit bullish on? Maybe you felt like they deserved a little bit more love than what they were getting.
Well, look, I have my brother's a huge Giants fan, so he's been hammering San Francisco in my head like all summer long, right? I do like the Giants, and we were talking a lot about their pitching and their rotation, and I asked Greg Amsinger, who's one of the best guys here at MLB Network, and him and I kind of agreed on the fact that they might have the best rotation right now in baseball, and so watching them is going to be exciting. I think obviously the Orioles is a big one. You talk about these teams with like the young guys coming up, that Corbin Burns addition, his debut was exactly what we all wanted to see, right? And then, you know, you got Jackson Holiday that we're all following in the minors right now. I'm sure he'll be called up at any point during the season. And then being in New York, I got all these Yankees fans, right? Like being here and at MLB Network, lots of Yankees fans. And, you know, they're always excited for their team. And I love the passion that their fans have. But just to kind of watch them start out 5-0, to see the players and the weapons that they have, and like Anthony Volpe, another young guy, right, showing his depth. You don't have Garrett Cole, but you still have guys that are, you know, doing what they need to on offense to win these games. And to think Aaron Judge and Anthony Rizzo haven't even gotten going yet, you know, I'm excited to see what'll happen when that team kind of becomes complete as well. So I would say those are the three teams I've kind of had my eye on. Braves always have been one that, you know, I keep up with in the back of my head, because just being from North Carolina, like, we never had an MLB team there. So we kind of all adopted the Braves. I got a lot of friends that are Braves fans. So, you know, it's been exciting to kind of see what they've been able to do over the last few seasons, and to see what they're going to be able to do as well this season. So I'm excited. It's going to be a good year for baseball. And I just love the surprises we get. It's always fun to make these predictions and what we expect going into the season. And then those teams that surprise you, that's what I always look forward to.
Oh, no doubt about it. And to your point about growing up in North Carolina, I actually spent a year out in Nashville, Tennessee. And when you're in one of those states without a true baseball team, you've got a decision. Like out there in Nashville, you have some Braves fans. They are the home of the Brewers AAA affiliate, the Nashville Sound. Yep. So you're going to get a few Brewers fans in there. Just the St. Louis Cardinals, with them, I have an affiliate out there in Memphis. You've got a few St. Louis Cardinals fans out there as well. So it's a little bit of pick your own poison. That's a few hours away from the city of Atlanta.
It was funny. Like, I actually, my first couple internships, I worked with the Charlotte Knights, and like, they were the Kannapolis Intimidators. They're now the, I think, the Cannonballers. But those are both teams that are in the, you know, White Sox organization. So I have a White Sox hat. One at one time, a long time ago, I decided I wanted, and then obviously NC State, Carlos Rodon, he got drafted by the White Sox. I was going to be a White Sox fan for a second, you know, as we were trying to adopt teams in North Carolina, but that didn't last very long because, you know, Chicago hasn't done too much for us lately.
Hey, and then you were able to adapt the Giants when Carlos Rodon was on that team as well.
Yeah, that's when my brother got me. So my brother, he moved out to San Francisco about the time I think Rodon went out there. And then they obviously drafted Patrick Bailey as well, another big NC State guy. So, you know, Wolfpack family, we love to support our NC Staters. Trey Turner, always enjoyed following him as well. But it's fun, that's for sure.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Absolutely. And how do you take a look at some of those pitchers that maybe had a rough year last year, one that was mired in injury? Because I feel like those are some of the biggest question marks. And the way that a guy like a Carlos Rodon, a guy like a Casey Mize, those guys being able to take those leaps or not being able to take a leap, though, that can be the biggest make or break to a team as to whether or not they make the playoffs as well.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Like the injuries to the pitchers are some of the hardest things that you just kind of witness and watch as a fan because, you know, we don't even know how hard it is to really rehab and get back from that. I will say I've always followed Carlos and his wife on Instagram, and she actually posted this awesome video. I think they have three kids now. She just posted this awesome video of her the other day doing Pilates, looked like she was in amazing shape. And her caption was all about like how her and Carlos had really focused on just their health and fitness over the last year or so. And so I was actually really excited about that because, you know, he has dealt with these injuries and just how these guys are going to have to adjust like in the off season rehabbing and just really focusing on their health, and to see that he was doing that and that them together were focused on that. That makes me really excited for a guy like Carlos. That's what it's going to come down to, is how these guys are really taking care of themselves off the field. So you hope for, as a fan, you hope that these guys can get back to full health. And we, you know, we say is their best, you know, yet to come still. I would hope so, but it's just so hard in this day and age with dealing, you know, with those injuries and stuff for pitchers. It's a tough job, man.
Yep, even someone for the Milwaukee Brewers, Joe Ross, coming back into the MLB for the first time since 2021. If a guy like that can take off for the Milwaukee Brewers, massive upside there. If a guy like that is unable to, that puts him in a little bit of a trickier bind, especially when you've got an offense like that of the Milwaukee Brewers as well. So there's a lot to be able to take a look at. And Abby, I know you're going to be doing amazing work all season long over at MLB Network. You're the newest host over there on Quick Pitch, which is a great nightly show for those that are late night owls like myself. Very good viewing over there on MLB Network. And I know you're helping out in a wide variety of ways over there on MLB Network. So let the good people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow all of your work on social media and other platforms.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Greg. This was so fun. So hopefully we can do it again.
Absolutely. And then Abby Labar with an underscore. That is the Twitter/X handle that you want to follow there. And I believe that she's on Instagram, TikTok, all those good social social media platforms. And yes, absolutely. Now in this day and age, you've got like 50 million, billion of them. I don't know if people use Pinterest anymore, but I know that that was a thing for a second as well. There's
I was the Pinterester back in the day. I haven't used it as much anymore though. So
yep. You never know what's going to be popping up, but whatever is trending on social media, Abby is going to be there doing an amazing job. And it was great to be able to get her on the show today. Big thanks, Abby, for joining me on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the Visa Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Thursday as we touch them all.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Visa Family Podcast. It was great to be able to get Abby Labar aboard. She does great work over at MLB Network hosting the show Quick Pitch. That's a very good show to be able to wrap up the night in baseball. I know that there have been many tremendous hosts on that show. Abby is the latest of them, and it was great to be able to get her aboard today. So big thanks, Abby, for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Thursday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter/X feed at GNN_D1. It's going to start with the two National League games that were originally on the board first, the two American League games that were originally on the board first, and then that Tigers versus Mets double dip that's at the bottom, even though it's the earliest of the games. And the reason why they do that is because these orders were set a few days in advance. They weren't anticipating a doubleheader between the Detroit Tigers and the New York Mets, so it just gets added at the bottom. So let's get things started with my DK Network Rider pick. 951-952 on the card. The Washington Nationals plays the Pittsburgh Pirates. Martin Perez goes for the Buccos, and Josiah Gray is on the bump for Washington. Washington finds themselves as an underdog between +110 to a +118. Meanwhile, for the Buccos, they're between -127 to -130. 9 is the total. Under is -120, and the over is even. And my write-up is going to be on the total. I set my total at 9.3, so being able to get an even money juice on the over of 9 appeals to me. If we can get this down to an 8.5, even better, but fully anticipating this being a 9, and we've actually seen this move to 8.5 at a book or two as well. But that said, whether you've got the 8.5 or the 9, I do like this total over because got a pitcher of Martin Perez that I just have never really had any sort of faith in. It was so bad from last season that he got demoted midseason from the starting rotation by the Texas Rangers and pitched a lot in relief. He had a 4.99 fielding independent, an ERA of a 4.45, giving up 1.3 home runs per 9 innings, north of 3 walks per 9 innings, while not being a strikeout guy. So that's a little bit less than appealing. Now, I do like the Pirates bullpen. Even something like an Jose Hernandez is relatively solid out there. You've got David Benar, Aroldis Chapman. So if they're able to get a couple good innings out of Martin Perez, they're actually not in bad shape, but I don't think they're going to get a great start out of Martin Perez. And Josiah Gray, he's not been able to produce when he's been at home throughout his career with the Washington Nationals. Last season, he had a 5.49 ERA at home, giving up 1.7 home runs and 5.8 walks per 9 innings in Washington, D.C. This compares to his road numbers of a 2.97 ERA, 1 home run, and 3.8 walks surrendered per 9 innings. And now he has to face off against a Pirates team that they had a little bit of a rough go of it yesterday, scoring just 3 runs, but this is, in my opinion, the most improved unit in all of baseball. Last year, they were 28th in the big leagues in terms of total home runs, 22nd in terms of runs per game, and this season they are a top 3 team with regards to runs per game, and they're averaging darn near 8 per contest. You've got a lot of young guys that have been able to step up. O'Neill Cruz has been just absolutely tremendous in terms of getting on base, being able to provide a little bit of power. You've got Rowdy Tellez, who's now able to provide a little bit of boom as well. Michael A. Taylor has done a nice job moving line. Brian Reynolds, he's just a consistent hitter that both gets on base, provides a little bit of power. 1-9, honestly, looks relatively solid for this unit, and it certainly does help when you go up against Washington Nationals team that you've got a bullpen that is much below the league average. You've got Hunter Harvey, who's been okay, and you've got Kyle Finnegan, who's always been a roll of the dice throughout his career. He's the guy that I don't trust. Matt Barnes has had his struggles over the last few years. Actually do like Jordan Weems, but since coming back from injury, Tanner Rainey hasn't been himself. And for Washington, this team does a good job of moving the line. They had a 2.64 as a collective at home last season. That was a top 6 mark in all the big leagues. And you've got those guys that are back from a season ago, like some CJ Abrams, Joey Meneses, Kiber Ruiz. Not a lot of power, but a lot of guys are able to get on base. But they did add a few guys that are able to go boom in this lineup. Jesse Winker is right now dealing with an illness. He probably won't be available in this game, but Eddie Rosario, Joey Gallo are a pair of guys that have had 30-plus home run seasons in their career. Now, Joey Gallo very much the epitome of an all-or-nothing hitter, but that said, he also does draw a few walks, and I do think that for the Pirates, they're going to do a nice job getting to Gray. I do think that for the Washington Nationals, they do a solid job of being able to get to Martin Perez in this spot as well, and I really do like the way that the Pirates are rolling, too. I think that they've got an advantage in the bullpen, so I do think that both of these starters, give it up, my DK Network write-up pick, that is going to be on the over, and for the Pirates, set them as a minus 132 favorite, so I like the Pirates, and I do like this total over. 953, 954 on the betting board. The Miami Marlins are on the road facing up against the San Luis Cardinals. Lance Lynn goes for the Cards, and Ryan Weathers is on the bump for Miami. Miami is an underdog of between plus 132 to plus 135. Meanwhile, and between minus 145 to minus 155 is your number on St. Louis. 8.5 is the total. Over is between minus 110 to a minus 120. Under is between even a minus 110. Set my number at a minus 164, and I hate Lance Lynn, so I'm going to be willing to lay this number. I mean, this Miami Marlins team is in absolutely awful form right now. They are 0-7 with all seven of those games coming at home. Ryan Weathers looks like a breakout candidate during the spring. He goes out there in his first start against the Pittsburgh Pirates and walks a plank, giving up three runs in four innings. He's backed up by a bullpen that has Oscar Brazoban, who's relatively okay, but they lose the likes of Steven Okert and company from a season ago. They're looking at Sixto Sanchez being a reliever after he just was not able to be at the big league level the last few seasons, and he has not been terrific out there in the bullpen. I actually like George Soriano in long relief, but it's rough with regards to pitching, and then they lose Ore Solaire from the lineup, and he was their massive guy that was able to bring the boom, that was able to provide home runs. You've got Luis Arraez right now hitting a .185. Tim Anderson looks completely washed. Josh Bell is able to give you a little bit of pop, and I do like Brian De La Cruz, Jesus Sanchez, those guys out there in the outfield, but this is a terrible lineup that's backed up by a bad bullpen, and this is a Cardinals team that also has a bad bullpen of their own. Ryan Helsley, he's a terrific closer, and Andrew Kittredge was a nice acquisition from the Tampa Bay Rays, but those are like the only two guys last season that had a sub-3.5 ERA that pitch out of the bullpen. You've got the likes of John King, Ryan Tepera, Andre Pallante. They're not great, and for Lance Lynn, he gave up darn near two home runs per nine innings a season ago. Actually looked halfway decent in his first start against the LA Dodgers. Five punchouts and four scoreless innings, you're going to take that. And for the St. Louis Cardinals, I just flat out think that they outslugged the Miami Marlins to victory. Nolan Arenado along Paul Goldschmidt, you know that at the end of the season, these guys are going to be hitting and supplying some power. Wilson Contreras has done a solid job of being able to move the line. He's been able to give the team a pair of home runs. And then the young guys like Jordan Walker, Brandon Donovan, Victor Scott, they're doing a nice job finding a way on base. This Cardinals team, it's so much better at home rather than away from them a season ago, and I wish I could call it anything else, but this Miami Marlins team, with all the injuries that they've got in the rotation, Edward Cabrera, Eury Pérez, guys like this, I mean, it's just rough for them. So I'm going to be willing to take the St. Louis Cardinals actually on the run line. Right now, find that run line price anywhere between about plus 130 to a plus 135. I think they slugged their way to victory as I set my total at 9.1. So I like the Cardinals run line and the over. 955, 956 on the betting board. The Minnesota Twins are going to be playing us the Cleveland Guardians. Tanner Bibee goes for Cleveland, and Pablo Lopez is on the bump for Minnesota. Minnesota is anywhere between minus 148 to minus 155 favorites, between plus 130 and plus 130. Your number on Cleveland, 7.5 is the total. Under is minus 115. The over is minus 105. Made my total 7.7. I'm going to be taking a look at this one over for Tanner Bibee. He had a relatively solid go of it last season. First year up there at the big league level, posted up a 2.98 ERA. He did have some home and road splits, but I mean, this guy is a very rock solid starter. He was able to get away with only walking about 2.5 guys per 9 innings. Does a solid job of being able to mitigate hard contact. Was perhaps a little bit fortunate on balls in play, but all in all, I do like his game. And for Pablo Lopez, it felt like he got a little bit unlucky last season. His fielding independent was about a half point lower than his ERA, and he looked very good in his first start against the Kansas City Royals, giving up just one run over the course of 7 innings. And for the Cleveland Guardians, while this team doesn't provide a lot of home run power, they're clearly showing right now that they've got a lot of guys that they're just able to move the line and get on base. Last season was a little bit rough for them, but Andrés Giménez, Stephen Kwan, two seasons ago, these two guys were both able to hit north of a .275. They come out of the gate strong this far. You've got Jose Ramirez, who's currently hitting for more like a .275. Well, Brandon has done a solid job moving the line. Josh and Bo Naylor are going to be your two power guys. And once again, I think that the Guardians are going to be towards the bottom of the league in terms of home run power, but I also do think that they're going to do a nice job getting on base. And then got a Twins lineup that, without Royce Lewis, it is relatively rough for these guys, not going to lie. But at the same time, you still have someone like an Edouard Julien, Alonte Alex Kirilloff. These are two guys that I think can hit for 20 home runs. They do a solid job being able to find a way on base. Carlos Correa really needs to pick it up, but he's starting to look a little bit better for this team. And then Byron Buxton, him being healthy is just so big for this team. He had a rough year last year. He was once again dealing with injuries. Peak Byron Buxton is one of the best hitters out there in the big leagues. Injured Byron Buxton is a big, giant issue. And for the Minnesota Twins, this bullpen is solid, not great. I like what you're able to get out of Yoan Duran. He's one of the best closers that you're going to find in the big leagues. And when these guys are healthy, the likes of Brock Stewart, Dan Duarte, Cody Funderburk, they're relatively good as well. Meanwhile, for the Cleveland Guardians, Emmanuel Clase is just absolutely amazing. But I do sense that this is a Guardians bullpen that is just not quite the same that it has been in past years. And Yadier Los Santos being on the fold, that's rough. So they're looking at Hunter Gaddis to be able to hold down the fort. Tyler Beattie's a little bit of a long guy. And Scott Barlow, he was relatively solid a few seasons ago while he was over with the Kansas City Royals, but does feel like he's had a little bit of a fall off as well. So I do think that the Minnesota Twins can get just enough offense in this one, but maybe just not quite the same pitcher on the road as he has been at home. So I did set the Twins at a minus 151 on the money line. If you're looking at that run line price, it's more around a plus 145. I need at least a plus 140 to take a shot there. Personally, just with how juicy this line is, I'm going to be taking a look at that run line at a big plus price because I do think that both of these offenses are going to be able to give you a 3-plus run. So looking at the over, and I'm going to be taking a look at the Minnesota Twins on that run line, 957, 958 on the main board. The Chicago White Sox are on the road facing off against the Kansas City Royals. Seth Lugo goes for the Royals. Mike Soroka is on the bump for the White Sox. Southsiders are between plus 150 and plus 152 underdogs. The Royals, they are pretty much minus 165 across the board. 8-8.5 is the total on the 8. Overs between minus 115 to minus 120. Unders between even to minus 105 on the 8.5. Unders between minus 115 to minus 120. The overs between even and minus 105. Semi-total at an 8.2. Between the 8 and the 8.5. Personally, I would rather go with the 8.5 under. And that's just because I have absolutely no faith in the Chicago White Sox lineup not doing anything stupid. I wish I could put it any other way, but you just take a look at these knuckleheads and they have no idea that you can take a pitch. You don't have to swing at every single ball that is thrown. If it's off the plate, you can just say, you know what? No thanks, I will take my base. They need to learn this. Luis Robert is off to a solid start. 2 home runs. He's been able to hit a 250 thus far. That's solid. He is pretty much the only guy that has seen north of 10 at-bats that is sitting above a 250, sans Yoan Moncada. And you don't have really any other form of offense for the team. Paul DeJong has a pair of home runs, but I mean, it's a rough state of affairs right now for our White Sox team hitting a 181, and I just don't think that's going to get better. You've got a lot of guys that are just up there free swinging. They have no idea what they're doing. The catcher spot for the White Sox might be the worst hitting position for any team in all of baseball. And for the Kansas City Royals, you do have some upside when it comes to this lineup. Bobby Witt Jr. is looking to build off of what he did towards back half of last season. So far, so good. 10 hits in his first 25 at-bats. Love to see that. He, Salvador Perez, both have a pair of home runs. Mikel Garcia has been able to give you a trio of home runs. But I do think that this summer has gotten a little bit overinflated. Seth Lugo, good first start. First start against the Minnesota Twins, 6 scoreless innings in. Last season, going from bullpen to starter for the San Diego Padres, not a bad transition. He does a nice job, not giving out a lot of walks, only about 2 walks per 9 innings. In half strikeouts per 9 innings, he does give up a bit of hard contact, but all in all, does a relatively solid job holding down the fort. And I do think that we are going to see the best of Mike Soroka moving forward. Did give up 4 runs in 5 innings against the Detroit Tigers, but this guy had so much upside when he was coming out for the Atlanta Braves. I do think that he's going to be able to find it a little bit more here, and both of these bullpens are just awful. Like with the Kansas City Royals, James MacArthur, absolutely terrible. Matt Sauer is a guy with a little bit of upside. They pick up John Schreiber, who I actually like from the Boston Red Sox, but Chris Chan, Will Smith, these guys get jiggy with it in the worst way possible for a bullpen. Meanwhile, for the Chicago White Sox, they really don't have too many trustworthy guys as well, but they didn't have to play yesterday, so that off day actually does help them out a little bit. Michael Kopech just is allergic to not giving up home runs. Brian Shaw, I actually think, might be relatively okay in this bullpen, but he's had a rough run of it when he's pitched for Chicago. John Brebby has a little bit up and down. Tanner Banks can lend a little bit of length, so it's a very interesting spot. You've got two rough offenses. You've got a guy, Mike Soroka, who needs to figure it out but has upside. And for the Royals, they've really been all or nothing in terms of their bats thus far this season. They either give you a one run or they give you an explosion. And I think that this could be a little bit more of a rut for both of these teams. So here at the 8.5, I like the under. And with the White Sox. Set them at a plus 138. So going to be willing to ride with the White Sox money line to go along with the total under. And now we hit our double dip, 959, 960, 961, 962. For game one, it is going to be Casey Mize going for the Detroit Tigers and Adrian Don't Call Him Doogie Howser for the Metropolitans. And right now, the total is 7.5. Unders between minus 120 to a minus 125. Overs between even a minus 105. For the Mets, they're between minus 130 to minus 135 favorites. Anything between plus 110 to plus 120 is that number on Detroit. And anything of plus 114 or higher in this Mize versus Howser matchup, I'm going to be willing to ride with the Tigers. Now, for Casey Mize, pretty much missed all of last season due to injury, but just looking at him in spring training, I know that we talked about this yesterday on the podcast when we thought we were going to get Casey Mize for Wednesday with Sean Cirilli. He's really mixed up his pitches as well. He's got a little bit of a different arsenal, and I do think that he's going to do a good job of throwing a Mets team that just has not been able to save their lives offline. I do think that the Mets are going to pick it up a little bit with their lineup, but they're batting a .188 right now through their first four games of the season. Brandon Nimmo, Francisco Lindor have a combined two hits right now. Jeff McNeil is not able to move the line. Really, other than your main three, Francisco Alvarez, Pete Alonso, Starling Marte, you haven't been able to get any offense whatsoever, and Pete Alonso is going to hit his home runs. You're going to get Starling Marte to do a solid job of moving the line. I do think that Alvarez has some upside, but I also think that the Tigers have the better bullpen. Edwin Diaz, he's the best reliever in this game. He's a very good closer, but you only use him for about one inning. Then you go to Drew Smith, who's okay. Brooks Raley is okay, but for the Tigers, you're just littered with a bunch of guys that can absolutely deliver in the bullpen. Will Vest is someone I like. They're transforming Alex Fiedo into more of a two-inning guy, which I like him in that role. Tyler Holton, Jason Foley, Alex Lang. These are all guys that you're probably not going to get like a sub-250 ERA out of any of them, but I think all these guys avoid posting up a 4-plus ERA. And then for the Detroit Tigers, you've gotten really good production out of Kerry Carpenter since the back half of last season. They are going to need to get more consistency out of a lot of these outfield. Riley Green is off to a rough start to the season. Parker Meadows, Matt Beerling, what are these guys going to be able to do moving forward? But I thought that the acquisition of Gio Urshela was big. He's someone that's able to move the line. Spencer Torkelson started out slow last year, but I think that he's going to be able to pick it up as well. And for Adrian Howser, never been a strikeout guy. Got about 7 strikeouts per 9 innings last season with the Brewers. And to the credit of Adrian Howser, he was able to drop the amount of walks that he had towards the back half of last season. So that was very good to see. But Adrian Howser has always been someone that has responded differently to pitching on the road rather than at home. And now that he has to pitch out there in New York, which is one of the better pitchers' ballparks in all baseball, you could have landed in a worse spot. But you do have to have your question marks with him moving forward, as well as throughout his career when he pitched in Milwaukee. About a 3.61 ERA, 4.19 ERA in all other spots as well. So I do have my concerns there. It's a circumstance where with the numbers presented to me at a plus 114 or higher, looking at that Tigers money line and on the 7.5, looking at the under. And then we've got no numbers up on this game. It's going to be Matt Manning going up against Jose Buto for game number two. I set it to where I set the Mets at a minus 104, so plus 105 or higher. Take a shot on the Tigers, minus 103 or less. Looking at the Mets and made my total an 8.3. So an 8 or less in terms of Buto versus Manning. I like the over, 8.5 or higher, the under. I actually liked what I saw of Jose Buto when he got starts towards back half of last season. Posted up in 7 starts, 9 total appearances. 4.02 fielding independent, 3.64 ERA. Okay, swing and miss stuff. Not great, not terrible. He does walk quite a few guys, but at the same time, he did a nice job being able to keep the contact soft in his appearances with the New York Mets last season. This is a ballpark that is very much built for him, and goes up against someone in Matt Manning that just has never really been able to find it when he's been on the road, but he's a high upside young guy. I believe that he's still just 26 years old, and I do think that he's going to be able to figure it out sooner rather than later. Manning has never been a guy that's going to go out there and give you a lot of swings and misses. Only 5.8 strikeouts per 9 innings. Had a really nice stretch towards back half of last season. Did have, though, a fielding independent that was about 1.3 points higher than his 3.58 ERA a season ago, so you do have to wonder if regression's going to kick in, and he did do a much better job on the road a season ago rather than at home. Give it up on the road, about 1.2 home runs per 9 innings, but really did a nice job of keeping the walks down. In starts away from home, gave up only about 2.4 walks per 9 innings, and once again, the lineup is pretty much going to be the same for game number 1 as game number 2, so circumstance where I'd be willing to lay up to a minus 1-3 with the Mets in Buto versus Manning, plus 105 or higher. Take a look at the Tigers, and then 8 or less, I'm going to be on the over, 8.5 or higher, the under, and that'll wrap things up for the Thursday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSIM Family Podcast. Big thanks to Abby Labar, who does great work over at MLB Network. She joined me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Baseball Betting Show, You're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is via Twitter /XTimeline at @GDN_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, name does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Coming at you guys every single day throughout the baseball season. That means I'm coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.